On Thursday, January 11th, starting at 4 p.m. until 6 p.m., there will be a report to the listener from WBAI's General Manager, Bertolt Reimers. Once again, on Thursday, January 11th, 4 p.m. until 6 p.m., there will be a report to the listener from WBAI's General Manager, Bertolt Reimers. Once again, this is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. It is now 5 p.m. Stay tuned for Black Seinfeld coming up.
Yo, what's going down, ladies and gentlemen? Good morning, good afternoon, good night, whenever you guys are listening to this. Welcome to a new episode of Black Seinfeld, the show about absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
I go by the name of Mr. Psyche.
And I go by Bastian Nissa.
We just want to thank y'all once again for tuning in to us live here at 99.5 FM. Or if you're listening to this on the podcast, thank you again for listening to this on your own damn time. Please do not forget to like, rate, review, subscribe to us, share this with the fam, share this with the friends, because, I mean, I don't want only you to be listening to this, okay? We need for you to share the love, spread the joy, all right? We're trying to be bigger than H&M. You feel me?
Oh, early.
we'll get to that a little bit later, man.
Later.
How you doing, bro?
Not bad. No,
you've been very happy recently.
Yes, because I got a job. But stop. Yeah. Thank you.
Give it up, my nigga. Got a job, y'all. Tommy got a job.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
Yeah. So now we got to work around the schedule with the show
in real life. You do. Now.
But it's okay. I have a lot of time.
Mm-hmm,
I'm ready to self-improvement for the whole year.
Do you want to talk about it?
No, I do not. Never will.
Or at least just what you do?
No, I'm back at being a barista again.
That's as much you can say.
So I'll probably come out, like, talk about some nonsense drinks every now and then.
You're going to teach the folks how to make some coffee?
No, you don't need coffee. What you guys need is green tea, and that's it. It has enough caffeine for the rest of the day.
Mm.
So...
And this is a barista telling you this.
I know, but all you need is green tea, to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about...
Or chai tea. Shout out to chai tea.
Okay, but like
some almond milk on the side.
But some people, J. Cole, would like to know how to make some certain cup of coffee. You know, some people might want to learn how to make an Americano or, you know.
What kind of coffee do you have every morning?
You mean I got the Starbucks. I got that Starbucks holiday blend still.
And so. The holiday blend with the pods and everything? Yeah, just do that then.
Yeah, you know.
It's all artificial. It's not even
real beans. Coffee beans.
Yeah, not from South America. They're not importing it.
It's not from Colombia. Yo, I remember
not making a movie about it.
My ex, she's Colombian, so she would do this thing. You know, Colombians have this tradition where they put, like, cheese cubes in the coffee, and then they wait for it to melt, and then they eat it. That's a Colombian thing.
What kind of cheese? You gotta be Right. What kind of cheese is it? Not no mozzarella.
No, it's not a mozzarella. I don't know the exact cheese, but it's like no a little. Jack, no, it's like Jack. It's some sort of Colombian brick cheese that they use.
All right. Yeah.
I learned some things about the culture.
Aged goat milk or something.
I don't know, bro. I learned some things about the culture, but I didn't dive balls deep in it because obviously that didn't like work out.
All right.
But anyways, man, we want to introduce someone very special, man. So Black Seinfeld, man, we've been on a come up, right? We've been having interns and stuff, and it's a 360. It's a full circle because I started out as an intern, and now that we have an intern, it's very weird because like he's our age. A lot of them are just our age, and like they want to learn from me, but I'm
learning too.
Yeah, I don't know anything. I don't know anything. I mean, give it up for intern Mike, y'all. Give it up for intern Mike. We should have some applauses in here, but
of course.
Thanks for having me.
So, you know, first off, I want to throw my hat off to you because you're actually here 5 in the morning, sir.
Dedication is the key to success.
Yeah, and honestly, I didn't think you would show up. I'll be real with you.
We appreciate it.
If I say something, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, and I definitely respect you for that.
I want to learn as much as possible, so I got to do what I got to do. It's my dream.
But see, here's the thing, though, about Mike, all right? This man has a handful of internships, and there's one in particular that I'm like, damn, you interned for them? And that was?
WBLS, MS Communications, Hot 97.
Yep.
Oh.
So, you know, one of our favorite people work there, Ebro.
All
right. And how was Ebro?
Ebro was tall. Ebro was like 6'5".
Really?
6'5". Ebro was like 6'5". But he didn't really stay in the studio a lot because after the morning show, he went straight to his other job at Beats One. So he didn't really stay in the studio a lot.
Was there any interactions you had with Ebro? Just like a quick hi or like a hi?
What up, Mike? Man? How you?
Oh, that's it?
Chilling. Oh, thanks for holding the door for me. is there any more donuts in the break room?
Is there any connections that you made at Hot or WBLS?
Yeah, I made some connections on 107.5. There was a host named Deja Vu. She says her studio is an open door, and I can come anytime I want. So when I have time, I might say what up to her.
Okay.
Oh, that's very interesting. All
right,
so, hard worker.
Yeah, I got to do what I got to do, man. All
right, I see that. I feel the energy.
I feel the energy. And, you know, real quick, I would like to know your top 5 dead alive, you know, hip-hop artists of the culture. I would love to know this.
No top pressure. 5 dead or alive.
Doesn't have to be in any order, but.
I live in Brooklyn, so I got to represent for Hov. I got to represent for Hov, man. I was listening to In My Lifetime this morning. It's classic. He warned us about stuff going on right now. Volume 1, the one that came out in 97.
Okay.
Biggie, definitely Biggie. Like, this dude made Ready to Die. This dude made 2 albums, and people call him the best of all time. Like, it's
debatable,
crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's debatable, but it's still in the conversation, though. Nas, I love Nas.
Ugh.
What's up? let's see who else I like. I like Prodigy. That's my guy. R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
And wow, 5, 5, 5, 5.
One more.
Yeah, one more, man.
Anybody read
Pac.
It?
Pac. Oh, there we go. Pac.
Sprite.
Only God Can Judge Me. Me Against the World is one of the best songs of all time.
Yes, I agree. Only God Can Judge Me is one of his best songs ever. It's definitely one of my favorite Pac songs, but I like some of the Pac songs that people don't know. Like, Never Had a Friend Like Me off of the Gridlocked album. Are you familiar with that track?
Yeah, I'm familiar with it.
See, that's why I like this guy. He knows his stuff. And you know...
It's funny, that track had auto-tune in it.
Yeah.
Well, only God can judge me now.
Only God can judge me.
That's the OG with the synthesizer, and you got the mic, and you got to play it on point.
But that's like
very difficult.
But that's the popping auto-tune, though.
Yeah, it's you live auto-tune. Saying? It's not all
What's that guy's name from California Love? Roger...
Roger Troutman.
Yeah,
he was... R.I.P.
Troutman. Yes, Roger Troutman. He's one of the OGs of the whole auto-tune, I guess you can say, wave.
Stevie Wonder,
but there you go.
But Stevie Wonder, like, was the first dude to do the talk box, right? That's what they say.
Yes, please, Sensei.
Actually, you would have to go if you're gonna go back. I mean, one of the first people to have like the electronic or you know the synthesized voice, you have to go back to the days of like Muddy Waters and also someone like Howlin' Wolf. There would be more of the
pioneers.
The pioneers. Okay. Of that. So Those are the two.
Yeah.
Because it will go even further back than that. So.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but Stevie Wonder, you know, pay tribute to someone like that, as well as Roger Troutman used it with the Zap Band. He would use that, which was primary during his tenure as being the leader of the Zap Band back in the 1980s. So Troutman was definitely an innovator of doing that as well, you know. So yeah,
everything he did was with the auto-tune, with the I wanna be your man. That was a classic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he made Computer Love before computers were even relevant.
You know, for our generation, of course, we know Mr. T-Pain. And even before that, we have Cher with Do You Believe in Love? Which is still a bumping track to this day. It's very, it's very classic, but also, you know, it still fits in with 2018, yeah, in my opinion. Well. It aged very well.
Very well.
Shouts out to Cher.
So it was like ahead of its time.
She's
so
a vampire too. Fitting.
That was a lot of Botox though, man.
You think so?
Absolutely. You can see it on her face. Like, Cher's face has no emotion. I love you, Cher, but you know it's true.
Once you make, like, X amount of money from a certain time, mm-hmm. you're probably going to use it.
I mean, R.I.P. Joan Rivers used some Botox.
Oh, sure.
You know what I'm saying?
That was an addiction.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of celebrities that you know, that were around for a long time, they do get Botox, and you can see it in the face.
Yeah.
Because, like, they just have no emotion anymore. That's just me.
But she has to maintain. But you have to maintain a certain image and a certain look when you're in that limelight. So
that is true.
If you have Botox, you're always picture perfect.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Well,
don't catch you off guard unless you're at home.
Well, they say picture perfect, but you can't really mess up with somebody from above created.
I mean, I'd rather have emotion on my face, to be honest. Yeah, but I'm black though.
But like,
black
doesn't crack. Your career, you're not a model. You're not walking around. You're not like someone chasing you with paparazzi.
True, but I mean. That's coming though.
Yeah,
that's coming, man.
When I was
you
at
think
the,
so?
You think he's hot?
When I was at the Intrepid Museum, like I saw Joan Rivers like a week before she died when I worked there.
Word.
Yeah, she was smiling like the whole. She like her face was like aww. She was just smiling like the whole time. Like word. She was nice. Yeah.
What did she? Did she make some jokes?
Yeah, she was making jokes and all that. That's but yeah,
a natural comedian.
Like if you see the way she looked like 25 years ago before mm-hmm. she died, like you'd be like, who is that?
True.
Yeah, you'd be like, who is that?
But that is definitely true. Well, welcome along, Michael. Joan Rivers is an absolutely classic comedian, but also another GOAT as a comedian is Dave Chappelle. And recently he dropped his latest comedy specials, Equanimity and The Bird Revelation. That's now exclusively, I wouldn't say exclusively, but because you can always just pirate it. But it is on Netflix. It's a Netflix special. And I think these two comedy specials solidify Dave Chappelle as one of the GOATs, if not the GOAT of comedy. What do you think, Fashion?
Yeah, I definitely agree. Once it came out, I saw The Morning Of. I saw both of them back and forth. The other one, which one? Bird Revelation?
I felt like that was more of a TED Talk.
Yes, that was very interesting. It's close to the audience.
It's very intimate.
Bar, very intimate. And he's just talking to the audience. And maybe if that's the type of show I would like to go to for Dave Chappelle, maybe something, a small venue, where he's actually sitting down. I guess the only downfall is like he's probably smoking in front of you. But other than that, I thought.
Does the cigarettes bother you?
Yeah, of course. And come on, I have a lot of friends that smoke. I usually tell them to go across the street and when you're done, come back. But still, it leaves a residue and that's not good.
Fair enough.
But yeah, I enjoyed both specials. Equanimity. The only thing that bothered me with Equanimity is like I'm attached to detail so I can see everything. And I could see the audience constantly switching. So that annoyed me. I think they shot like three specials and just cut it and edit it all together. But all together, like in general, I enjoyed both specials.
You're very attentive.
Yeah.
Damn. Well, I would like to say this about Equanimity. I think Equanimity is very great because he's in tune. Like Dave Chappelle, I feel like some of the best comedians are just always in tune with what's current and what's going on in the world, and they just give their spin or opinion on the matter. But I think what makes comedians so dope is the fact that sometimes they challenge the norm, and sometimes with that challenge, they kind of make sense with it as well. And Dave Chappelle definitely did that a lot. Dave Chappelle, in his last specials, he got a lot of flack from the transgender community, and he addressed it in the special, and he said, look, I'm not saying that I'm transphobic. I'm saying the fact that you're human and you have a right to be human. You know, sometimes, hey, I may not understand what's going on, but, you know, that's a part of life.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that being trans is wrong. I'm just saying that sometimes, like, I just don't understand it.
Yeah.
Sometimes. And that's okay. It should be fine.
See, my problem is, like, you know what I mean? We'll understand what he's trying to say in that special in particular. Mm-hmm. But other people, they definitely misunderstood what he was trying to explain. He basically apologized.
He did apologize.
For like 30 minutes.
And then he came out with another joke.
Yeah, but that's him. But the people that took it, they didn't understand his apology. It's like they twisted his words, even though we all saw the same special.
He literally said,
like, I don't have any
problems.
And the people just going out and saying, oh, people are soft, but...
I believe he is right, and we're going to get to that later.
Yeah, but I just didn't like how people started twisting his words out of content, you know, context.
We're in an age where everyone gets offended, but I feel like this special is just... I just like observing Dave Chappelle because when he's on stage, he just looks so comfortable, so relaxed. He just... Like, he doesn't try to be funny. He just is.
It's natural. It's because, one thing I thought was very interesting is that he gave us a punchline. We won't say the punchline.
Oh,
but
yeah,
he gave us the punchline, and he ended up using it when you least expect it.
True. I'm a dope comedian. He said, one, I'm a dope comedian. Why? Because, like, this isn't even, like, hard anymore. I can come up with one punchline and just watch out for it. I have a fishbowl full of punchlines. I picked one up today and this is the punchline, so look out for it.
Yeah.
And then he just goes on to telling this story, and then he uses the punchline after the story, and no one expected it.
That was great.
Yeah. I think...
Did you watch the special?
Yeah. Dave Chappelle's the GOAT, by the way.
Yeah.
It's just Dave Chappelle's style. Like, he's just gonna talk. Like, well, he's gonna say whatever he wants on that stage. And he's going to don't care. But in today's society, like, you have to apologize for everything. If it's not nice or it may, quote unquote, offend somebody, you got to apologize. I just don't understand that. It's comedy. Like, there's no harm in it. You know, you're just speaking what's going on.
I feel like a comedian's job is to make people laugh. But a comedian is never malicious with its content.
Exactly.
It's always some sort of satire to it, or there's a point being made within the joke.
Exactly.
See, what I think is the idea of the comedian is evolving, but it's not natural. You're forcing it. You're forcing the evolution of the idea of a comedian. Because if you look back to, like, Richard Pryor's era, there was, like, X amount of popular comedians.
Exactly.
Then we go to, like, Jerry Seinfeld. During that era, there was a lot of other comedians.
Exactly.
Damian Wayne and, like, all those Chris Rock and all those people. It's just more comedians out there.
Yeah.
Then you got Comedy Central, that at the time before Netflix started to put a lot of comedy specials out, Comedy Central
HBO used too.
And HBO. Yeah. But I think Comedy Central had a lot more smaller
people.
Yeah, Comedy Central presents a lot of those 30-minute specials.
Charles Gambino.
Like the ones on the come up.
Exactly.
Like that's like where they start off and then go. Then it also had Def Comedy Jam.
Yeah, Def Comedy Jam. I think that's the same era I like to put
Damian
Wayne.
BET Comic Views.
Yeah.
Like,
so now we have a lot more people, which means it's a lot more styles. Yeah. That means people can't use the same jokes. So most of them are getting reckless.
Yeah.
And I understand that because
Absolutely.
They're trying to be different. They're trying to be against the norm because everybody has the same topic. So being black, da 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 da. So now we're in the age where we have to be politically correct at all fronts, especially if you want a career in the industry. So if you don't want to see something offensive, someone like Michael Che, right? And remember the whole catcalling? He was making a joke about it.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't catcall. He was making a joke about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yet they wanted him to be kicked out of SNL because he joked about it.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. And he had to kind of explain it in his own special, which I thought was great too. I was telling a joke. We're comedians. We have to joke about everything around us. And that's what I think. Like, the idea of the comedian is pushing. I thought it was at a fine rate. But now we have social media and everything's so instant and fast and everything is going on right now mm-hmm. that they're just pushing the evolution of comedian to something like probably an unnatural form.
It was like Handyman with Damon Wayans when he was Handyman.
Mm-hmm.
And he had an interview with somebody, asked him like, you think you come out that in 2017? He was like, no. He said, my career will be over if I come out with Handyman now.
Yeah.
He was like, when back then, he said handicapped people used to laugh at him. He said handicapped people felt like they was normal because he was joking on them. He said the only people that were offended were the non-handicapped people. He was like, handicapped people used to come up to me all the time. I was like, yeah, that was funny. That was funny. Like, because it made them have like a sense of being normal. Like, you know, no one's safe.
Oh, yeah, because no one wants to talk to them, talk about them. Exactly. They're never brought up into any conversation, especially in the
I think a comedian's field. Job is to be a – they're critiquing the culture, man. And I feel like we should give comedians more of a leeway to just do that. I mean, in this era now, the phone era, everyone is quick to record something. Everyone is quick to tweet out something. Some people just don't want to sit back and just enjoy and listen to the show and really hear what they're saying.
That's why they ban phones from like certain shows.
That's why Dave has as well.
Yeah, Dave, Kevin Hart does too. They confiscate your phone. You can't make a call, nothing.
And I agree with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially not even just comedy shows, but music festivals and concerts. Like sometimes you just need to like enjoy the moment, enjoy and listen to what the performer is saying.
Yeah, that's why.
Because if you just record it, you're just gonna miss it.
That's why I record less nowadays, because you're not gonna go back to the recordings.
Yeah, just gonna be in your cloud.
You're just flexing.
Yeah, you put you. This is what I do. You put like 10 seconds on the snap. Another 10 seconds, like every 30 minutes, put 10 seconds on the snap.
Yeah,
take a like now you can take 30 seconds to 50 seconds for Instagram, and you're good. That's it.
Or even the performer would go, all right, take out your phones now. Let's get the pictures ready. All right, put it away. Let's get started.
It depends what type of performance. If there's a lot of thrashing, you know, pushing around, then yeah, please, cell phones.
I remember even at the Gov Ball last year, Tyler was like, all right, get your phones out real quick.
It was,
Yes, it was Gov Ball. Governor's Ball. Yeah, New York. 2017.
You went to Gov Ball?
No, but Tyler, they had the performance. Yahoo had the whole performance on YouTube.
Yeah.
So Tyler, in the beginning, was like, get your phones out now, take your pictures, and all right, put it away.
I was going to talk about Afropunk.
No, I wasn't going to talk about Afropunk.
Because we saw Tyler there.
Yeah, we did see Tyler there, man. It was
intense.
I lost my glasses almost.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
This reminder, I told Giovanni step by step everything that will happen once Tyler gets on stage.
And exactly happened.
And I lost him.
He did the freestyle. He did the what the F right now.
Yeah.
And then everyone was jumping. The song was done. Bastion was gone.
Yeah. That's it. I tell my friends all the time, yo, don't look for me if I lose you.
And then we
enjoy
try to
concert.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, and then we try to look for you at Flying Lotus, and then I was like, all right, I'm done. I'm going home.
Yeah, I was just chilling.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing at the Dave Chappelle Netflix special is the story about Iceberg.
He's a great storyteller, by the way.
Very great storyteller. And he
Iceberg Slim.
Iceberg Slim, the pimp. And what Dave Chappelle wanted to do is make an analogy where he describes his reasoning of leaving the industry.
Leaving the Chappelle show after season two, giving up, walking away from $50 million and going to Africa.
But did you ever see Cat Williams discuss that?
No.
All right. So Cat Williams kind of gave more clarification about the $50 million and about Dave Chappelle making a lot of money. This is like corporate society. So Dave Chappelle had a contract with Comedy Central, the first time, the first of its kind, the whole format of the show, talking to the audience, skits, talking to the audience. It's new. As you can see, ever since Dave Chappelle ended, a lot of other shows follow, like Carlos Mencia, Sarah Silverman, Key & Peele, can name a whole bunch
Definitely
of people.
Definitely, he has said that in his special.
That too. So now you have Comedy Central, I think the contract they had was like probably like 50% of the earnings will go to Dave Chappelle. So you can imagine for the past two seasons, probably a two-season contract, that because it blew up like since the first episode, they made a lot more money than they expected.
Mm.
Marketing probably could expect, we're probably going to make $85 million or no, probably less, more like $60 million, you know?
Is it the same thing as Joe Budden with Complex?
No.
Okay. I'm sorry, keep going.
It's worse than that, if anything.
Okay, keep going.
No, it's in the same field, but it's worse because the contract was supposed to give him a nice percentage of it. The problem is they made over $500 million. Comedy Central made over $500 million off of just Dave Chappelle alone. Sales, commercials, all that. The problem is they didn't want to give Dave Chappelle half or the certain percentage. It was a good percentage off the money. So instead, they offered him 10%. Hence the $50 million.
Oh my God!
So every day, man, me and you know us together. $50 million is a lot.
Of course,
I'll take $50 million.
But if we know that you're if the corporation is getting way more, if I'm making way more money for you than just $50 million, I deserve a bit more of that cut.
Yes,
because I'm the one who's giving you all the clout.
Yeah. Hence, you could go back to Joe Budden. And
especially contents. Yes, with Complex. I'm the reason why everyone is listening and subscribing to Complex. Now that he's gone, we haven't seen Everyday Struggle since. Absolutely. To be honest, we haven't seen one damn episode. But continue with the Iceberg Slim analogy, please.
Yeah, so that explains the industry about you could have a set deal, and everything could work well. And let's say you're very successful at what you do, doesn't mean you're guaranteed the money that you even signed for. So when I heard the Iceberg Slim story, then I correlated to what Cat Williams said in one of the interviews about Dave Chappelle. Just he heard the once he told them, hey, well, how the my fans going to feel once they hear this story? They said, go ahead, tell them, but you have to know that we could put something out on you. Hence the whole story about Dave Chappelle on crack
and him just being crazy.
Crazy.
That's why he's going to Africa.
No, he went to South Africa so he could stay away from everything.
Oh, you're right, but everyone was saying the public perception was he's gone to Africa, he's crazy, he's on crack now.
Yeah.
That's the public perception. Yeah. When in actuality he just did it to clear his mind from everything that happened.
No, but because also they told him that was going to happen if he leaves. They told him that they could mess his career up just off of that. And, they have a lot of power. And I think that was very interesting. I think the Comedy Central was always owned by Viacom, right?
Yes.
So I guess it's Viacom. Yeah. Viacom, definitely. Mm-hmm.
But now Dave Chappelle's Negro Domus, because I was listening again to inside the actor studio interview again. And this was right after Dave Chappelle came back from Africa. And he said, yo, I know y'all here because y'all expected me to be crazy. Y'all probably expected me to be scratching my neck because I'm on crack. But get ready, y'all. Y'all are going to need y'all Africa tickets. And he goes on and he talks about how Mariah Carey was stripping naked on TRL. And he goes on talking about how Martin was wielding the gun saying that they're trying to kill me. He goes on to say that, these people are strong people, so how can this happen? Maybe it's because Hollywood is sick. And now a decade later, we have the exposure to Hollywood and all the Weinsteins and different actors are being exposed for sexual harassment. But I feel like there's going to be even more exposure that's going to be happening. I feel like it's deeper than the sexual harassment stuff.
Whole world.
Exactly. It's a whole industry. It's an underground world that we may not be in tune to. And I feel like the sexual harassment and sexual misconduct we're only scratching the surface. But I feel like within time we're gonna even learn more about it.
Yeah.
And the whole Iceberg Slim analogy was I was right. I told y'all.
But I like how he was trying to say, I want to tell you why, but I can't tell you. Then he'll tell a joke, then he will go back, I want to tell you why, but I can't tell you. So I'm going to use this story.
It was a tease. But it was a great tease, though.
And from there, I kind of forgot, he's a great storyteller on his own. He knows how to, put the characters. You felt like you were watching a movie of what he was saying.
Absolutely.
So you could imagine the entire scene in your
vivid
head.
Vivid imagery.
Then in the end, you have to kind of go back and correlate to what he was trying to say. Because you kind of lose track sometimes. Why was he even telling the story? Why did he feel that this felt like him? Who was he, the person in the story?
He was the bottom bitch.
Yeah, that's it. So that was him. That's how he felt.
We don't want to give away the whole. We're not giving away the story for obvious reasons. We want you to actually watch it and listen to it because it is very eye-opening.
Yeah, very.
Say the least. So we reached the 30 mark, y'all. Song of the week, Bastion. This is your song. Please break it down for the people.
So the other day I was listening to a bunch of Bjork music. And I was trying to
Iceland's favorite,
and I was trying to figure out why was I so late on her? And I was trying to figure out her music is so great. So what was the song I gave you?
Unraveled, bro.
Unraveled.
So this is Unraveled by Bjork, but in my opinion, you should have added a new song that the new album just dropped.
I wanted a much older song. Fine. A much younger.
Okay, fine. Yeah. So this is Unraveled by Iceland's very own Bjork. We'll be right back. Black Seinfeld. And that was Unraveled by Bjork. Yo, next time you choose a song, remember what song you choose, okay?
You're supposed to write it down on the list. I don't see anything. I see the name of the artist, and that's it. So that's on you.
No, this is your song. You chose it.
You tell me, you text me in the middle of the day, and I'm like working. And I'm like, all right, I have to give you a song. So I have to send you a song.
I'm sorry that I interrupted you while you were making a macchiato. Okay. All right, you have priorities, Bastion.
I just wasn't thinking. I was going to send you everything after I got off work.
Mm-hmm.
Then you sent me in the middle of the day. I just sent you the song.
You could have sent it to me once you were done at work. I sent you something else, and that created a huge argument.
Yeah. Want to talk about it before we get into
it? Yeah, let's talk about it.
I got very heated. I had a great day at work.
And then he reads a text message from me that says,
I got a bunch of messages from everybody. I'm reading one by one. All right. I'm going to answer that. Then I get to Giovanni's text. And it's the most nonsensical plebeian text I ever read.
You hate her. Oh, my God.
It was. All right. Give me a second so I can pull it up and read it.
It's, yeah. Read it.
It's exposure.
It's.
I said random access memories is going to be top 10, if not top 5, best albums of this decade.
Yeah. And
by Daft Punk.
You sent it to me around like 2:40 p.m.
And you got back to me at like 6.
7.
See? So, and you were like, no. Hell
like,
no.
I was like, no. That. How could you say that? Because I remember when the album came out because I got it on vinyl. Got it for my birthday. It came out like May something. My birthday is like May 31st. So I got it. Loved it. Enjoyed it. That summer was me like discovering new music. You know, I'm done with high school. And I'm listening to all this Herbie Hancock.
That came out in 2013, though.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm graduating like 2012.
Yeah, okay. So I guess it was.
This was freshman year of college. College.
All right, same time because I didn't have a job then. So everything felt the same. All right, so I'm like spending the summer listening to new music and stuff. And now I'm listening to old Herbie Hancock from the 1970s. Like, all right, he has like all these albums. I'm listening to this album. It's like, wait, this album sounds very familiar. Why is this? I don't recall the album because he has a lot. But everything about that album sounds exactly like Random Access Memory. And that was my problem. It's like, oh.
They can't be influenced by Herbie Hancock?
No,
though?
That's good. That's perfectly fine. Because we also had a discussion where, like, Childish Gambino.
Exactly. I said that in that same analogy is, oh, Waken My Love isn't great because it's practically George Clinton and Parliament Funk's Maggot Brain.
I never once said that the album was bad. I really enjoyed the album. But I do not think it's even top 200 worthy of the decade.
You're insane. Of the 2010s? Absolutely.
No, I don't. Because you could say it's, okay, if you're talking about singles, yeah, it's top 10.
I'm talking album. I'm the talking album was like dope.
The whole album.
The whole album was dope.
That's what got me heated.
It was dope. It has a lot of replayability because I recently replayed. I'm like, wow, this still holds up to now.
So if you please.
No.
Please make a debate.
Tell him the 4chan. Did you put it on 4chan?
No.
No, put it on 4chan because you know you're going to lose this.
No.
You know you're going to lose this.
No. All I know is deep down in my heart, it was broken when I read that text. I was like, please.
If you would like to contribute to this debate, here's the argument. Random Access Memory will go down in the top 10s, if not top 5 best albums of the 2010s. If you have a comment on it, please comment to us on Twitter. Do you agree? Do you disagree? At Black Seinfeld NY. Email us. Share it on Facebook. All that stuff. Let's have this discussion.
And we're going And we're going to go back to this day in probably in the end of 2019 when they're doing the end of the decade list. Mm-hmm. And I could tell you that it won't even reach the top 100.
It'll definitely reach top 100. Are you high?
And I know. Kind of reach, and it's right. The biggest reach ever.
How am I reaching? It's not going to reach top 100.
Bro, I'm talking about. I'm agreeing with Giovanni.
Thank you.
Top 100. Like I don't know.
Crazy?
Like in terms of albums of the 2010s, absolutely top 100.
Let me remind you. During 2010, when they were doing the whole list from like 2000 to 2009. Most of the albums on that list were
better
from
era.
The same like,
better
artists.
Era.
You think so?
Better
they
era.
Had all 5 albums.
Like
Kanye
2000.
There,
like 2000. Had, like,
well, I mean, those I mean, were great albums.
2000 from like 2009 was like a way better era than that.
Yeah, but like also
you said,
from
you
2010 and was it 2018?
Yes.
We have, it's January. We have so many great albums that could come out this year. And
you're
also
right.
2019.
You're absolutely right.
So many great albums that could come out that year.
You're absolutely
and
right.
And I don't believe that Random Access Memory by Daft Punk, with a lot of Pharrell, will have a, even like a fingerprint in the top 100 list.
But you gotta like.
I'd like to just say this. Okay. Rogue One and Rogue One, Darth Vader's not gonna be in the movie. Darth Vader was in the movie. Random Access Memories, this is gonna be top 100 best albums of the 2010s? Are you high? No, you are wrong. I'm sorry, bro. You're wrong.
No, no one's talking about this album.
So wrong.
It's true too.
No one's talking about this album.
Well,
I've been listening to
that is kind of
no
true.
One. No, no one's talking about this album.
But no. That's because
No one cares. Wait till the fifth anniversary. They're not even gonna do a re-release. Wait till the 10th anniversary. No one's gonna talk about it. It's not Discovery. It's not Discovery. That's all I have to say. It was better than
It's not going to be a Discovery.
Then it can't
See,
be considered
See, you're one of those
10. Daft
Punk fans who are like, oh, I don't like the fact that they use actual instrumentation.
I never said that. I actually enjoyed this album. Like I said, I have it on vinyl. And they had the synthesizer that was huge, over 88 keys. It was crazy. Mm-hmm. They put a lot of work and effort into it. But I'm saying right now.
I'm tweeting this to Anthony Fantano.
I'm saying this right now. It's not top 10.
It's
not
definitely
top 100
10.
Of
it's
a decade.
Definitely top 100.
I say top 100, but I don't know about top 10.
I definitely think top 10.
And it wasn't even, I don't even consider it the best album that year.
Hold on. What list are we going to go off, though? Are we going to go off of, like, we're not going to go off Billboard or, like, Pitchfork?
No. Yeah, we have to do the whole consensus. So we have to look through multiple lists and see what's, like, more albums.
Oh, if it's definitely Billboard, you lost. You so lost.
No, I don't think so.
I know so. You lost.
And that's not how Billboard works either.
Oh, trust me. You're going to see it. You're definitely going to see it. Top 100, you're reaching, sir.
All right.
You're still reaching.
That's hop
top
back.
10, absolutely.
Let's hop back into the topic.
Hop back to the topic at hand. The biggest topic that Mike the Intern tweeted out. And here's the discussion. Is America, ladies and gentlemen, becoming too sensitive, overly sensitive, or is Americans becoming less tolerant to all the bullish that's been going on recently?
Yeah.
What is your take on this, Bastion?
Yeah, they're less tolerant on things that are like nonsense. Like, we don't give passes anymore. Because I'm not even sure if it was like anymore. As I was saying, the evolution of like how we perceive things, especially comedy, TV shows, commentary on the air, tweets. Depending on how things are handled, I do believe that we look at these people and say, hey, you can't say that. That's offensive. And we're going to put you on that. And yeah.
I feel like everyone now wants to have some sort of struggle, in my opinion.
Facts.
And I'm not saying that you can't have a struggle, but you also have to realize that, one, I'm a black man, I'm a Caribbean American, I'm an African American, and you have to understand that I don't know my African culture, okay? My last name is an Irish name. It's Anglin. I don't know what my African last name is, okay? I don't know what my African culture is, okay? We have to create new culture, okay? My people have been oppressed for centuries. We've been enslaved, all right? We're still oppressed even now to this day. So for a lot of people that want to come out and have some sort of struggle and be offended so easily, as this young millennial black perspective that's, you know, quote unquote conscious to what's going on, I feel like sometimes you guys have some Americans focus their attentions on certain things that are not that important. And yes,
if the pot is hot, they're going to keep on pushing it. Like, if the pot is hot, like, if the car is going to keep on moving, they're going to push it. Like, if they feel like they can get, like, a big story out of it, they're going to keep on pushing. They're going to push it because that's what it is now. Like, it's all about, like, just attention and publicity. Everything is publicity now, especially with social media. Like, you got to find your way to get publicity. So, if, like, in words of Charlamagne the God, the lie is more interesting when the truth is whack.
I believe so. I mean, everyone still thinks Usher has herpes.
Yeah.
Which is not
true. Everybody thinks Usher is Haitian. You know?
We was talking about that the other day. We was like, look, Usher may not have herpes, but Usher having herpes is lit for the news.
True.
Like,
I don't think Usher has herpes, to be honest.
I don't think he has it, yeah. You know what's crazy? The girl that like accused him actually went to the first high school I went to. She went to the first high school I went to.
Brooklyn is so small.
She went to Prospect Heights.
Oh, wow.
So I was just like, wait,
I know this girl.
I know this girl. Like, she got like bigger like over the years, but I was like, I know this girl.
Oh,
like,
you know her.
Yeah, like, I don't know her. Like, she ain't my homie, but like, I know her face. I'm like, wow. Like she bought like a reunion from like class of 09 to like class of 2002. Everybody was like, yo, we know this girl. Like, that's crazy. Funny.
But Mike, you are onto something because you mentioned social media, and I feel like when it comes to and when it comes to social media, everyone has a voice and everyone has an opinion on certain things. So people voice their opinions, even though sometimes some of us may not agree with it, they still share that opinion. Yeah. And being that the internet is very small, but it's also very vast and huge, you're going to find like-minded people that agree with whatever that you're saying. Case in point, Genuine is under fire, allegedly, for not kissing a trans.
Yeah, now
am I correct, Bastion?
Yeah. Trans woman. Now he's quote-unquote transphobic.
Transphobic. And see,
but that's the thing.
Right.
It's like the truth, as you're talking about. Right. Like, the news itself could undermine the whole entire situation because they want to get this headline out. Mm-hmm. Most people saw the headline and probably didn't read the article. Most people don't even know what this, like, the reality TV show was about.
Yeah.
Right? That's what they're trying to push.
Then I remember, like, what's his name? Kevin Powell, the guy from Vibe magazine. When he was talking about, like, the East Coast, West Coast beef in the 90s, it was just a big sign that said East versus West. No one even read the article. And then, like, that turned into, like, something more like the death of Big and Pac. Like, headlines are more important to, like, I guess the consumer, to, like, the actual news, because, like, they want to, like, that sells it.
Yeah.
So, but like, think about.
I wish you could write an article where it's like no headline, but I'm not going to read that.
I ain't going front. Exactly. Nobody's going to read it if there's no
about?
Headline.
Someone tell me.
Oh, just open it and see what goes on.
But of course, now everyone is prone to comment on things, especially with Genuine. Everyone is calling Genuine, like Mike said, transphobic. But the thing is, like,
I don't
it's
think
not,
it's everyone. I think
well,
the idea,
I,
we
I
have
wouldn't
the
say
idea
everyone, but there's a lot
everyone
of
one might say that.
But there are certain comments that from the trans community,
the LGBT
or LGBT community that deem Genuine transphobic because he doesn't want to kiss a trans person. I don't think we should call him trans. We should just call him like hygienic, because you don't want to kiss a random person.
Exactly.
I don't know what your lips has been, B.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then, like, if you actually watch
the video. And plus, he's married, isn't he?
Did y'all see the video?
No.
All right. Like, the actual video, if you look at it, you would do the same thing. Like, first of all, like, they all chilling on the couch. And then they was talking about, like, women. It was like, oh, I'm a woman. Oh, would you date a woman? Jenna was like, yeah, I'll date a woman. He said, so would you date me? He said, no, you're a trans woman. I don't want to date you. And then, like, she puts his, right?
Yeah, she
puts his arms around him and, like, tries to kiss him. Genuine does the Matrix, like, whoa.
Back up, son.
And then.
That's a choice.
And then she storms off set.
It's a reality TV show, right?
Yeah, it's like Big Brother.
You think it was, like, scripted?
I don't know.
I think that's Genuine's natural reaction.
No. I mean, scripted, like, for her to do that.
I don't know. Like, it was like Big Brother, you know, like show Big Brother.
Yeah.
So it was like something like everybody is all in like one
room.
Yeah. So, but if you look at it, like, he wasn't like mean or aggressive with it. He was just like laughing, like, get away from me. Like, I don't date trans. I date regular women.
I feel like that's a choice, though. That should be his choice.
I think his wording is also could be considered problematic. So I see where
saying I don't date trans.
Yeah.
Why? Why would that be problematic?
No, I can't explain why, because I'm not qualified to.
Okay.
But I could say that it could come off as
very PC.
It could come off as offensive.
It was like three of them in there. It was like three trans women like on the set.
Mm-hmm.
And like one of the trans women was joking, like in the background, was like, he's just not into you. Like
he's not.
I guess he tried to make a move on him and like he was like, I'm not with it. Like
But my thing is I see this analogy a lot from the trans community as well. Well, certain trans saying that if you're unwilling to date a trans for being trans, it's almost the same as not wanting to date a black person because they're black.
That, to me, that's not the same
thing.
And
I don't think that's fair to say.
That's not the same thing.
I don't
know.
I can't. I don't want to put my idea on that.
I'm going to put my idea on it because, you know me, I don't care. But, right, you know, ahead. I'm really trying to, one, understand. But here is my perspective on this. One, I feel like, one, it's a choice, and I don't care if you don't want to date someone because I really don't care. But I feel like this. Look, if I want to date, I'm looking to date a woman, right? The whole end goal for me is marriage and wanting to have a family and wanting to have kids. If you're dating a trans, right, atomically, they anatomy-wise, they just can't bear children.
Mm-hmm.
That's a thing, okay? So I feel like just dating a black dude is just a color to me.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's
a
color.
I'm thinking deeper. It's, like if I'm investing my time in you as a woman, I really do want a family. I do want to bear children. And if I date a trans, I can't do that.
But I feel like it's not in the same category. Like a black person is a black human being. Like,
mm-hmm. This is, I can't change
it's like,
being black.
It's
bro.
Like it's like ex- well, I mean, you kind of could. You know?
I mean, if you're Sammy Sosa, yes.
Yeah. I'm about to say you can change. You can bleach your butt. And like, oh, reality, it's like it's men, it's women, yeah. It's transsexuals. So I don't think like that's in the same category. Like if I'm a man, I want to date a woman. You know what I'm saying? If I'm a woman, I want to date a man. Or if I'm a woman, I want to date a woman. You know what I'm saying? There's certain men that like transsexual women. That's their
style.
That's
cool.
That's their style. That's cool. Not my style. Like, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? People like, the way she was talking is like, she's treating sexuality like food. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you can make chicken different ways. Like, fried chicken, baked chicken, grilled chicken. You can say, oh, it's just chicken. Mm-hmm. But in this situation, it's not the same. Like, you can't say, like, oh, I was born a man. You know, I got the sexual change. Like, I'm a woman. Like,
it's like what Dave Chappelle said, right? He said, I don't understand all the choices people make, but I do understand that life is hard, and those types of choices do not disqualify you from a life with dignity and happiness and safety in it. Basically, I'm cool with you being trans. Like, fine. That's great. But I just don't want to, like, I'm not fully with being with you.
That's not
because in the end, I want something out of this too. I want something out of this deal.
So you're talking about like relationship wise, but that's kind of that. I don't think that was like the full story.
Yeah, I think it was just talking about just dating.
Yeah.
But if I'm not physically attracted to you, like. What
is
that?
I think
mean?
The article took it as a spin.
Yeah, like, oh, that's transphobic. What,
yeah.
They reach him. They reach him.
I'm not afraid of. Yeah, he's not afraid of trans people.
Yeah.
We're not afraid of trans people.
He was laying on the couch with the transsexual woman. So like right. he wasn't if he was transphobic, he'd be like, I'm not filming with her because she's transphobic. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So like he's not transphobic. He's just not attracted to her. So that's life.
Know. Yeah.
You know?
That's all.
Yeah.
You gonna stay PC on this?
Of course.
Fine. Fine. All right, man. So a couple of minutes left to spare.
Yeah.
It's time to give L of the Week. And L of the Week, of course, goes to H&M. Y'all know the story. Okay. Yeah. H&M has this photo of a little black boy with a nice green shirt. And it says, what?
Oh, the coolest monkey on the jungle.
Well,
I just feel like. I just feel like, you know, there's other animals in the jungle besides a monkey.
And why you gotta be the coolest? Why the black kid gotta be the coolest monkey?
Why I gotta be a monkey? Why can't I be a lion? Why can't I be a tiger?
I read someone say on Twitter, it was very interesting. It's like, maybe they did this on purpose. Like, no one is dumb.
Honestly, I felt like they didn't even, it wasn't even their intention to.
It wasn't their intention. I think so. I think it was.
I honestly don't
think
it was.
They just do it to bring publicity to the store? Because
nobody's going, no one's willing to boycott, especially H&M.
I mean, if you look at the numbers, H&M numbers have been going down.
But they're still making money.
They are making a lot
and
of
they
money.
Have been
they're fine if they're going down, but guess what? They're not. Remember, the way H&M's quality is built is they're using at least the less amount of resources to create the clothing and everything.
And they do collab with huge designers as well.
But
Alexander Wang.
As you can see, exactly. The weekend, you know, this gonna
and G-Eazy too.
And G-Eazy?
Yeah, G-Eazy left too. He was like, I'm not working with this racist company. He was like, he made like a six paragraph essay.
Oh, word? I might start listening to your music, like, G-Eazy.
Weekend was like, nah, I'm out.
Yeah, Weekend was like, I'm out. G-Eazy.
I'm flabbergasted.
He was like, it's 2018 and this racist is still existing. Yeah. I was like, okay.
You know, I feel like, no I honestly feel like H&M didn't have that intention.
No, I definitely.
Of the, you do?
Yeah, I definitely.
Honestly feel like they're just, the higher ups are just out of touch.
H&M is from a Swedish company, though. Exactly. Like, the people are from Sweden, like, they don't know.
No,
like,
no, that's not true, because you also have to take in consideration that they have a marketing staff.
Oh, they have a marketing staff in America. States. Yeah, you're absolutely
that's
right.
These people aren't idiots.
Right, that's the problem, too. That's the problem, too. I felt like someone should have checked them, like, look,
someone
here's
definitely,
the thing.
Someone, I'm positive, someone definitely said something like, you sure you want to do that? And it's like, they had probably a model, like, we're going to do this because in the end, we're going to have a lot of people talking about us.
Yeah.
We're not on the news. No one's talking about us.
And then people like will like agree, will like say like, oh, we reaching, we're being so extra and so sensitive. Because like there's the clothing line, Bathing Ape.
Yeah.
Yeah, they was like, oh, y'all wear bait. But why H&M said monkey? I was like, it says coolest monkey in the jungle.
Yeah.
And like,
and a black kid is attached to it.
A black kid is on it.
Meanwhile, like, Bape, just the symbol of Bape is a gorilla. That's the difference.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Why I gotta be a monkey?
True. But hey, shouts out to Diddy because Diddy allegedly signed this kid
offered him $1 million contract. But we don't know anything about that.
Well, hey, shouts out to Diddy, man, because legacy, legacy, legacy. Black excellence.
So this is Black Seinfeld Show about absolutely nothing.
Thank y'all for listening.
To us on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, Instagram at Black Seinfeld NY.
See y'all next week. Peace.
Peace.